Join us on Now We Consume. Take in the knowledge, take in the laughs, indulge in the topics with us. The Now We Consume podcast will take you through the parts of your day you normally dread. Why suffer through the existential crisis of life alone when you can do it with us? And Now We Consume.
This is not meant to be a conspiracy episode or podcast, but we may cover some topics that dance that line like a toddler dances on their mother's last nerve. This podcast is rated I, for immature audiences only.
Finally, welcome back to the Now We Consume podcast. I'm your host, Pip, here with my co-hosts, Gibbs and Gibbles.
Hi.
Yo.
This, finally, is the Now We Consume podcast, back from our break, where if your idea of foreplay is shouting, Pikachu, use Thunderbolt, while using a taser on your significant other, then you, my friends, have come to the right show. We have got one hell of a show lined up for y'all. It has been, what, 3 months since we finally, or since we were all talking to you guys? Because yeah. Gibbs was getting raw-dogged, railed, and used as a universal fleshlight by not just the universe, but lots of his friends. How many weddings did you go to?
All right, we're done with number five, so we're good. Good. We're all set. I'm done with weddings. I don't want to see them. If I'm one of your friends, don't get married. I don't want to deal with it. Just give me a year. Give me like 365 days of peace, please. No.
No more cake.
Here's the bad part. You went to five weddings since we've been gone. This is November, the first week of November. We last recorded in the first week of August. Five weddings. None of those were yours.
No.
I don't know enough people to go to that many weddings in my lifetime at this point.
You're lucky. I think, honestly, I have another one coming up next year already, but I think between that next one and all these ones, I'm out probably $4,000.
Oh, my Lord.
Because I had to buy one suit, rent two suits, Airbnbs, travel, food, stuff like that. It's probably $4,000. So I'm good with weddings. If you're having a wedding, I don't want to hear about it. I'm good.
Yeah. Just remote in.
Yeah.
Somebody can stream
it. Just do a Zoom meeting on it.
Yeah. I'll do like they didn't upload. I'll rent a robot for the day and have it
walk in. Yes. Love it. How do you sidetrack from the episode? Do you think shit like that will become like a thing?
Here's the thing. If you got a shit ton of money and not a lot of time, I fully expect people like Elon Musk would just be like, I'll just rent an iRobot for the day and just fucking walk in the office. Like, especially for someone that's going to end up having like multiple massive factories. Why not? Why just like rent a robot and walk around for the day? Especially if you own it. He's going to be making them. It's going to be the future of iRobot, but with people operating them, because it's way fucking cheaper to pay some
surrogates. That movie Surrogates.
Yeah. The movie Surrogates.
Yeah. That's all it's going to be. Yeah. You know,
and you got Bruce Willis running around.
So he's going to be in a robot saving us from the asteroid?
Maybe.
You could.
I accept that. It's possible.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But like I said, we've been gone for a while. And while we were gone, the world kept on turning, as you've all been quite aware. We decided that we were going to try to cover some of the things that have been going on since we've been gone. Because, holy shit, it was literally day one after we went off the air, as it is, the tech news and the world news was just slapping like Will Smith. It just didn't stop. We had everything from major advancements in AI, ChatGPT's advancements. We've got new digital assistants coming out, geopolitics. We're going to try to stay light on the political stuff, especially this season. We've got chip wars, all the issues with the chip manufacturing, cyber threats, different economic crises, housing markets, breakthroughs in different science, quantum computers, gene editing and CRISPR stuff, some of the high-end, the words are escaping me tonight, I'm sorry, I want this feature in my child, designer boutique, that's what it is. Pregnancies will be available by 2030, thanks to CRISPR.
Oh, God.
Theoretically and supposedly, they're available now on the black market of pregnancies. if you know the right people and you have that kind of money.
Yep. You have a designer baby.
You can have a designer baby. That's kind of scary. And it's like the worst parts of the eugenics programs from the 1930s and 40s come alive today.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Or the fact that you have a country that just voted for their prime minister over Discord.
The Nepalese prime minister, oh my God, that was hilarious. If you don't know, Nepal replaced their prime minister with a youth-based vote over Discord, and it was accepted. They ousted and burned down most of their parliament buildings.
Yep.
And they replaced and rebuilt. The people, the young people, like all the under 30 crowd, were out there the next day after the riots, after the looting, after all the shit. They were out there dragging the looters back to the places that they stole from and making them return merchandise or reimburse them with money if it was like food stuff. They were out there rebuilding, shoveling up the damaged roadways, clearing up debris. That's a movement of fuck you, get out of our way. We're rebuilding this country. That I personally can get behind.
It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Right?
I had to get rid of those nepo babies.
Right.
It's so American, but unfortunately, America's full of a bunch of wussies. So, we'd never do that, but we should. We really should.
Yeah. It's, it was one of those things that you didn't think you'd ever see it in your lifetime, especially having a Discord-based vote that would be honored and recognized at a national level. That was...
I love it.
I couldn't stop laughing when I read that, but oh my God.
You know what, though? If it works, I hate to say it, but in most other cases, it's not like the official voting stuff is going to be any better or worse than just doing it on Discord anyway.
No, you're dead right. That, but, but yet, one thing that I wanted to talk about, it was originally on the docket for the end, but... it's a big enough issue, especially kind of in the headlines right now, that I'm just going to kind of executive pull the lever on this one. 3i Atlas. The giant space rock zooming through our solar system could be just a regular space rock, could be an alien probe. If you listen to Avi Loeb, that thing is an alien troop transport that's going to land itself on Earth, and we're going to have, you know, Independence Day style invasions tomorrow. Unfortunately, I don't think it is. I would love to clap some alien cheeks myself, but it looks like it is just a space rock. But it's weird as shit. Go ahead, Gibbles.
The possibility of the Earth guys are easy coming out of this would be freaking hilarious.
What if it was just like a race of furry type aliens? That'd be hilarious.
The right. Problem is there'd be 0.1% of the population going, I'm gonna fuck that. That's the problem. The conventions are gonna be out of this world.
Like it's gonna
be terrible.
Meet a real live furry, not somebody in a costume.
Right? And the STD videos that'll be coming out of that are just gonna be insane.
Alien furry.
I'm sorry, sir. STDs? According to my calculations, you have yes. That's if it's on the sheet, you have it. I don't have to tell you.
Oh, yeah. So the super active coming out your ears gonorrhea.
You have mushroom gonorrhea.
Oh.
So one of the big things about 3i Atlas is the fact that it's done a lot of really weird shit that has been progressively getting harder and harder to explain away as being natural phenomenon. That's been the thing that's been kind of digging the hooks in. Go ahead.
So I just quickly want to interject. So just to make sure, for people that might not understand what this is, it is an interstellar space rock that entered our solar system like how long ago? It was like 3-6 months ago, something like that.
We had positive something confirmation like in early July. They did later find that it had been seen as far back as I want to say like April or May, possibly March, but it was a different observation. They just confirmed that it was there, kind of reconfirming the trajectory, but they had the first big proof in early July because it was starting to light up like a spotlight all the way out past Jupiter way before it should have been.
Is that the same rock that they were seeing like gases emitting from it and other things and stuff like that? And
yes. Yeah. So they determined that its composition was mostly carbon dioxide because that's the only thing that would sublimate that far out. But after it got to to a certain point, it started giving off nickel emissions, like nickel only. Normally, when you see nickel in space, it's mixed with like iron is the big one.
Mm-hmm.
But this thing was only giving off nickel emissions. The only time you see nickel purified like that is through refining. So an unnatural process. And that's one of the big things that was making people like Dr. Avi Loeb say, oh, that's a refined process. That's a refined signal. This may not be natural. But Dr. Avi Loeb was, or is one of the people that, you know, next to the Dr. Whoever, the crazy hair guy, I can never remember his name. He's one of the people that will say it's aliens sooner than anybody else. So take whatever he says with a grain of salt. The man's brilliant. Don't get me wrong, but he is very quick to shoot from the hip and say, hey, it might be aliens. But I will say that this thing is harder and harder to explain away as natural.
So do we just do a full Armageddon and just shoot a bunch of oil workers at it?
I was on board with that early on, but you know, with NASA not having a working heavy lift craft and SpaceX still kind of working on their Falcon
Starship.
Heavy. Starship, yes, thank you. We don't really have that capability right now. So
to be fair, if we really needed to get something in the air quickly, I'm sure some eyes could look the other way if they really wanted to put a Starship with stuff in it to get it up in space.
Yeah, it's all regulation keeping stuff down.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're good enough, we could send another manhole cover to space.
You're right.
We're true. 100%.
Yeah.
We're really good at that.
I would love to do that one again.
Yeah.
Just to say we could.
So I have a question and then a follow-up point. The question about 3i Atlas, if it were to be technological in nature, would this be a sign that we are screwed as a species?
Not necessarily.
Maybe.
So that's two different points. Gibbles, take the maybe.
Well, it all depends on if the alien species that comes to our planet, you know, because it's inevitable it'll happen at some point. Do they have control over bacteria, viruses, and stuff like that? Because that's what really killed off a lot of Indians and Native Americans. Other areas of the world, you know, when ships started arriving from Europe and places abroad and we brought disease, is that something that if they don't have control of, or, you know, are we compatible or whatever, could that be what wipes us out? Not necessarily that they're violent. It's just we're biologically, we're screwed that way.
Right.
Or
that's a solid point.
You know? Yeah. Or it could just be they show up like, you know, Star Trek wise, and they're just like, hey, how you doing? You know, that'd be nice too, but odds are it's myself, I'd say it's not going to be good, but there's always that possibility, as remote as it might be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might work out. Maybe.
That's the hope. Gibbs?
Yeah.
Well, what I would say is technology is not always a linear thing where if you're good at one thing, you're good at everything. So we as humanity, we're really good at like killing people, making war.
Mm-hmm.
Almost unnaturally so. So just because there's another species that is spacefaring that's better than us at transport does not mean that they're better at war and conquering. Mm-hmm. Vice versa, they could be so good we'll never even see them. Who the hell knows? We could just suddenly cease to exist just in a flash. Who the hell knows? Or vice versa, they could be like, still using swords and spears. I've never heard of this brilliant thing called a gun. And they're like, huh, okay. Or maybe they've never used this thing called nuclear energy. Because, you know, nuclear weapons is a very humbling
raw thing. Use of the power.
Yeah, you know.
They could be using it for power generation and propulsion, but never transferred over to weaponry.
You never know.
Because they're not a violent species, you know, like we are.
Yeah. Their culture dictated that, yeah, we'll use it for this, but
not that.
Never use it for the other thing.
Yep.
It also depends too on how they are physically, because like it all depends if they can even survive in our kind of atmosphere and our kind of ground.
Oh, yeah.
Who even knows if they can even survive our solar radiation? Like for as fragile as humans are, we also are relatively durable in our area. Whereas who knows where they're from, if there even is anything. So,
right.
You know, right. You never know. And that's assuming if their vessel is protected for solar radiation, because we're relatively close to our sun.
True. You
know, who knows if they come from an area where they're very far away from it, they get near close, and all of a sudden their vessel just falls apart. You know,
wouldn't surprise me. Solid points. So the point that I wanted to bring up, and you had raised this in the pre-show, NASA has refused to release any of the photos of 3i Atlas that they've taken over the past like month. Now, yes, we are in the middle of a government shutdown, so technically there's not a lot of people at NASA that are functionally operating, but they are still supposed to have staff on hand monitoring the skies, keeping an eye on things, especially on 3i Atlas. They do have pictures. We have confirmed that they do have photos of the object before it went behind the sun and we lost visual of it. Where are these pictures? They only have 24 hours to legally release the pictures that they take. They're a publicly funded organization. Where are the photos?
Where are the photos, Mansley?
Where are the photos, Mansley?
It's going to be one of those things where, I hate to say it, I bet you there are people that are squirreling this information away just so they can gain an advantage over other people.
Probably.
I'm sure there's something politically involved or some company that wants information, so they're trying to use the government shutdown as an excuse to say, well, I can't get you this information until after the government shutdown, but before it, if you, you know, give me a little cheese, you know, a little
cheese.
Yeah, might be able to give you some information.
Somebody say cheese.
Jeez. I could use a good charcuterie board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So surprise me. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that's going to keep coming down the pipe for that. 3i Atlas comes out from behind the sun next month. So we'll be watching with bated breath on that one. In the AI frontier, OpenAI launched GPT-5 as a full launch model. It had major leaps in reasoning. Kind of wondering what the what would be the first three tasks that you guys would immediately delegate to it in the real world if it's a fully functioning agent that's that much better than four and could function as like a true assistant? Because this is like the first actual agent that's capable of taking jobs like we've talked about before.
Yeah.
So I've already seen some people that are using that in various ways to make their own ways of taking voice calls, voice memos for companies, setting up appointments, setting up scheduling, even employee scheduling, setting up deliveries. There's a lot of deliveries and orders for stock and everything. So like the background is I run an automotive shop. So like I'm responsible for a lot of things here and there. And there's a lot of weird stuff coming out and going. Dude, if I could have an AI person just handle all of that nonsense, that's about 60% of my day I would save from having to make unnecessary calls.
Yeah.
And other weird crap. That would be incredible. I think for a lot of businesses, just the general secretary work, kind of that kind of stuff, like overnight, that would take it.
That's a whole demographic of employment that is now wholeheartedly threatened. So...
I was going to say, I think until the government taxes companies for the use of an AI over a person, they're going to go that way for a little bit. And for a little short term, a lot of people are going to lose jobs until some politician's going to say, hey, we're going to have to tax them appropriately. So either they use the AI and that's equivalent to the same tax burden as an employee or just hire a person. I bet you until that's done, you're going to see a big shift into AI. And then after a while, it'll kind of... you know, swing its way back.
It's still going to be cheaper to hire an AI, though, because they won't have the insurance requirements, they won't have all the same tax implications, and they can work the AI 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a one-time purchase. An AI costs $25,000 for the license. Yeah. An employee is going to cost twice that and still need time off.
Yeah.
You know, it's simple math. It's easy math. What were you going to say, Gibbles?
Well, I was going to say, like, what I do right now, I've been using it kind of like my, I'd say like an assistant in a way that's just smart enough to kind of help me out, like with, you know, fixing things, you know, give me an outside perspective versus, you know, okay, with my experience and then add in, okay, well, all the information you have, we can then come to bring it together and go, okay, this is what the problem is.
Yeah.
I've done that a few times where it was like, I had a machine that just stumped the heck out of me. And using ChatGPT, I was like, okay, this is the parameters. This is what I'm looking at. This is the model of the machine and everything. What do you think? And it's able to take everything that's on the internet that maybe even I didn't think about searching. And within a few minutes, it gave me a couple possibilities that I may not even thought of and just go, oh, let me try that. And it helps with, you know, as an assistant to fixing things. So in my line of work, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to take over, but it's definitely become a fairly reliable tool.
Almost like an apprentice role.
Almost.
That's kind of, that's a good spot for something like that, where it's a practical role that needs kind of like a hands-on approach, but it still doesn't need the full hands-on.
Right.
So,
because, like, in my line of work with the software I use, I already have like a low-end AI integration. Mm-hmm. So where, like, if a customer says I have this problem with my car, it's automatically on my other monitor reading what I'm typing in for the customer concerns and then popping up with possible questions and clarifications and, like, how to ask for more specific information on stuff, which I don't really use it, like, 80% of the time. But when I have a customer that comes up with something really freaking weird, then I'm like, what the hell? It's actually really helpful, to be honest with you. I'll look at that and be like, oh, that is a good question to ask for clarification. Right. So it does make sense. I think a lot of people are going to be switching from jobs to where it's from a secretary role to a, if you are good at prompting these different AI programs, it's going to be more of like an AI prompter position where it's, hey, you're good at asking it for information quickly and getting the right result we're looking for.
Yeah.
That's going to become the next big thing.
The interaction between humans and AI is getting more and more fluid, more and more contextual, more and more personal even. How soon do you think it's going to be before AI therapists, AI companions, and I mean the AI relationships are even on the rise? So
yeah.
AI assisted brothels, sex robots. I mean, it's going to be a thing where you just go buy the robot and be like, hey, I bought this. I'm fucking it.
Jesus.
Some of those robots that are coming out of the market, the new one that they just showed with the fleshy skin walking around. It's actually like,
and they had to cut it open to show that, yes, this is in fact a robot and not a person in a robot suit.
Because it was more or less anatomically correct as a female figure.
Yeah.
Walking on stage. Yep.
It moved like a real person. It was, I can't say it was creepy because the way it moved, it really did look like a person in a robot suit.
It did.
The way it moved.
We have entered the world of the uncanny valley.
Yes, we are there.
Things are going to be close. You're going to know it's not real. But then, let's just say, in the passion of the moment, you're not going to care. It's
not real. When you're buried, in that fleshlight that's attached to the steel frame, are you going to care?
No.
Well, I'm just saying, in that particular instance where they've had that robot walk on stage and they literally had to cut open the leg to go, hey, there's no person here. That was beyond the uncanny valley. That was where's the person in there? Because you're moving way too good. It looked legit. And that's why everybody was like, no, there has to be a person there. That's moving too good.
Yeah.
And when they cut open and you're like, holy shit, that's really a machine.
Yep.
That took it beyond the uncanny valley because your brain was looking like mine. I looked at it and I'm like, wow, I could see that walking down the street.
Yeah. If you're able to pull up that clip, you can drop it in over Baggy right there, which for those of you viewing, we have a new co-chair. That's Baggy. He is our initial run at some fun we're having.
Yeah. Let us know how you guys think in the comments. We're having a little fun with some logos and designs and, you know, don't get me wrong. Baggy does not replace Mansley.
No.
We still have Banshee. He will always be here.
Yeah, I don't know. He'll always be there. Mansley is, for anyone who doesn't know yet, the man in the mask on our logo. And he is going to be joining some episodes here and there.
Yes.
Yeah, there it is. That's the robot that they had. And that thing is insane. Look at that.
They cut the leg open just to show, hey, is this a machine?
That's insane.
The thing that scares me is I think we are quickly walking away from real relationships at a terrifying speed to where eventually it's going to be such a small subsect of the population that are in relationships with actual people.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to get, as soon as people can afford it, I think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to say, fuck this.
And those robots are getting more and more affordable all of a sudden. And with the rollout of things like Elon Musk, I was going to talk about it later, he's proposing a Terafab to make AI-based chips here in the States because the suppliers can't produce them. They're going to be cost-efficient. They're going to be power-efficient. They're going to be able to fulfill the roles. They can get those robots down under the cost of a car, financed the same fucking way, and people are going to have their sex robots in the house where they can get them, customize them, unbox them, and go to town same day.
Yeah.
You know what, though? So I was having a conversation with my friend about this the other day. I was very curious what you would both think about this because I'm in a different stage in life than you two. So here's my question. How many couples do you think would end up just getting one or two of those sex bots and just being like, yeah, you're together as a couple, but really the intimacy happens with the robot whenever you want it versus each other, or maybe in addition, or like, I'm very intrigued to see where this is going to go and how many relationships where it's like, are people going to be anti-robot? Like overall, like personally for me, I would not buy one. But right. At the same point, I understand why people would.
Yeah.
Or like, for example, what's the old trope of, you know, the wife that has absolutely no desire and the husband that does? It's like, is that going to then also maybe save some marriages, vice versa? Or is that going to completely just destroy them? I'm very curious where that's going to go.
I think therapeutically, for situations like that that you just described, it's going to be used probably more, or at least more often. I think there will be some that will be used for the experimentation aspect, because at a certain point in life, people want to try that whole, I want to do three people in this situation, but that feels like cheating. And there's a lot of emotional things that people can't get past once they do it.
No, I never thought
if it's a robot, then it's not going to be seen the same way. That's going to be looked at as just an accessory. At least in my mind, it would be. So that's going to be looked at as just, okay, that's just a sex toy that they can bring into the bedroom and try things out. But it's going to be so lifelike and so interactable, it's going to still be a person. So they can try out what they want, have the fun, and go about their day. No one did anything that they couldn't, or they didn't cross any lines they can't come back from. They'll have
but
the
what
experience.
Happens when the robot goes, no, I don't want to do that?
That's a whole other episode we're going to have, because AI and robot, like ethics, life guidelines, like if you get a robot and you bring it into your home and turn it on, you have just created life, essentially. Do you still have the authority to turn it off? That's going to be a whole other episode.
I think what's going to happen is we're going to end up having to have an agreed upon ethics code for an AI where basically once it reaches past a threshold, it's no longer owned. It's a living thing. And then every company is going to be basically battling to who can get closest to the line, who can be close to that actually being an independent life form. I think that's where we're going to be at for a long time, because obviously once your robot tells you to go F yourself, you're gonna be like, I'm getting rid of this one. Yeah. This one's going to the trash. You know, so you're going to want it to do what you say, but at the same point, it's like, I wonder how many people are going to be black marketing and dealing in AI
mods and stuff like that. Yeah.
That's going to be wild.
So, now on that same line, one of my next points, the rise of agentic AI, autonomous tasks for those same kind of robots and the AI. Is that going to be viewed as slavery? If a fully autonomous AI and robot is serving you.
Depends.
I guess it would have.
Sorry, you go.
No, I was getting ready to probably thinking the same thing you are. It would have to depend on whether you think it's sentient at that point or not.
Right.
Because if it's just autonomous, but yet it's still considered software, it's not really a slave because of the fact that you're not forcing something to do a task that's against
against
what it wants.
It's going to be a real slippery slope.
That's what I'm saying. There's going to eventually have to be rules in place to dictate, is it there or not? I mean, look at, I hate to bring this always back up, but one of Will Smith's greatest movies, An iRobot, it's going to be the question of, you know, once Sonny started having dreams and dreaming of a life that he didn't have, or maybe events that were going to come or places he'd never been to, it was like, oh, okay, we've clearly crossed the Rubicon here into now a completely different thing. You know, I think the thing too is once a computer or an AI is able to make decisions that it knowingly goes against that human's wishes, that's kind of the line that like it's going to be, okay, now we've crossed here. We got to put some controls in place. And don't get me wrong, like Isaac Asimov's, you know, his three laws of robotics and all that, that's going to have to come into play, which it's amazing how much of a profit that man was, dear God. But even so, there's a lot of legal stuff that's going to have to get involved with it too. And I think there's a lot of people
showing. Well, they're already showing the three laws don't mean squat when an AI decides I don't want to be shut off.
Yeah, that's getting scary. The extent that the AI are taking, deceptively escaping their systems to stay alive, it's kind of terrifying.
There's got to be a law or rule that like we have to have a backdoor way to shut off anything.
Yeah.
There's got to be something.
Well,
at least we're
all servers have a power supply. So, I mean, there is that.
For now.
That's the Achilles heel of all the AI at this point, is we can just pull the plug.
Yeah. So we have things like Google DeepMind Genie 3 is one of the newer real-time 3D and synthetic reality engines. So if AI can instantly generate 3D playable and interactable worlds from text prompts, how does that change and redefine the concept of intellectual property and digital ownership when your child can say, make this simulated world that I just dreamed of, and they turn it into a full-length movie? And I know we've talked about having customizable movies and movie experiences could be a path for like 3D or virtual reality movie viewing. If you had an on-demand responsive AI client that could change and redo a movie on demand on the fly as you're watching it, that would be amazing to have the movie turn out the way you want it to.
But there's an inherent problem with that.
Which is?
Humans thrive off the shared experience. And so the problem is if we're all living a world that only we experience, there's nothing to be shared. So the problem is like if you can't talk to someone about a movie because your version of the movie is completely different than my version, which is completely different from his version or your sister's version, whoever. If you go down a road to where AI can make whatever you want, we have nothing to talk about. You know what I mean?
Who's to say it can't be recorded and shared, though? Just like we do with reels and clips like we have today with TikTok and all that shit.
So everything's going to be like the most common downloaded version of this show.
Basically.
So what I'm hearing is all those people that have been fanfic writers on Reddit for the last 20 years, they now have a chance to do something in this world worth a damn. They have a chance. And that's a different story.
Some of those are good.
You know, World of Gumball went across that. They gave one of the characters a little notebook and anything they wrote for the fanfiction became real.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Yeah. That was good.
Oh, yeah. That was a good episode.
But I guess I see what you mean. Like, it does open up a lot of possibilities. I think it's great in a lot of circumstances. It's just, I guess what I'm concerned is I'm looking down the line where eventually it's going to go too far. And I think we're going to have some issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially, God forbid, how do you believe whatever's in the news at that point? Already, I barely believe what's on there.
We talked about that. We talked about that in a previous episode. The amount of Sora 2, when that engine hit, the video quality was already over the top. That just took it to a whole different level. The AI videos are, they piss me off. Oh my God, they piss me off. Because the first like 10 seconds look incredibly real. And then it's all of a sudden the cat eating the human's face or whatever. And you know that it's fake. But holy shit.
All the Pixar
2028
videos.
Election is going to be a clusterfuck. I'm calling it right now. The amount of deep fakes are going to be all over the place.
Oh yeah. I'm telling you guys right now, this is to anybody listening, for the love of God, if somebody tells you, oh, did you hear what this candidate, it's a lie. I'm telling you right now, as soon as you see anything on media, official media, this candidate said blah, blah, blah. And it's like, and if it says like an 8 or 10 second clip, it's going to be a lie. It's going to be edited. It's going to be, no, none of it's going to be real. And the sad part is, what the fuck are you going to believe?
Just wait till the news sources start sharing those.
Right. And the worst part is you can't even say just a couple seconds. You've got a video of Bernie Sanders talking about Latina booty. And that was probably, what, 60 some seconds long? I mean, it was amazing quality. Oh. It was hilarious. But I mean, that itself, it's like, if somebody's willing, able to do that and make it look legit.
Oh,
just imagine what could happen if you got somebody with some ideas that they want to put somebody down.
Neil deGrasse Tyson, he showed the video of him talking about something just like last week. That sweet, sweet, beautiful chocolate man showed the video of him going off on some tangent. And he's like, that wasn't me. I never said that. It's totally fake. Yeah. So it's like, holy shit. The video quality was, it was perfect. It was spot on. It was 100% his voice. Even he sat there was like, if I didn't know I didn't say this, I would think I said this. Oh, yeah. And that brings up a whole different potential for people like Alzheimer's patients, amnesia patients. It's like you could fabricate a whole new reality for somebody.
Yeah.
I know. You could make government, went to the moon.
Right?
You know?
Think back to like the government programs, MK Ultra. We're going to do an episode here in the future about memory alterations. That kind of shit, if they show video showing altered history of anything, real life altered history, their life altered history, and they come up out of their nap, and this is the proof they're being shown. Holy shit. Sorry to go off on a tangent, but
here's something to consider. The same couple of companies write all of our children's textbooks in
the
elementary, middle school, and high school. I will tell you right now, once it switches to all digital format, which in the next few years, a lot of places are talking about going completely digital for schooling, you watch, history will slowly be rewritten, and you're going to think, well, when I was a kid, I remember they're going to say, no, I have video proof, it's this. And then, you know, eventually you're going to be 85 years old going, I don't remember any of this. None of this happened. It's almost like George Orwell's 1984 was like, you know, something worth
prophesizing,
reading, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. Get copies of old books while you can is the only thing I can say.
My advice to people,
old encyclopedias and all that.
My advice to people are I have a small collection of history books from the 1890s up until about the 1960s. A few from England, a few from Germany, one from Spain. I have a few other different areas, even from America, from a few different decades. It's always been rewritten, but at least most all of it's in the same vein. I think this generation of AI will eventually change almost everything. And we will know nothing of our past.
It's a different kind of war that's being won because, you know, history is written by the victors. AI is kicking our ass and we don't even realize that we're helping it do it.
Like, people don't even realize back when the Ukraine war first started, there was a prominent video of Arma 3 with one.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
That the news mistook for video. And I'm sitting like, mind you, several of us here are Arma guys that like used to play that. We're all like, I know, like, the map. That's Altus. I've been to Altus. I know this place. Like, this ain't your plan. Like, what the fuck? Like, no.
This
no,
looks
no.
very familiar.
Uh-huh.
Weird. I've been there. No, but there becomes the problem. When AI is good enough to fabricate an entirely new place that looks just good enough to pass, none of us will be safe. And for the politics point, I'll tell you right now, if I have the chance to spend a couple $100s to absolutely decimate any political opponent I want with AI, I am going to be that guy. I'm going to be that guy that makes accounts online to purposely shit on any single politician I don't like, and I will spend the money.
I'm running for government. My name is D's Nuts.
So there you go. That's going to be our first fundraising campaign. Baggy 2028. Let's
do it. That's right. Hell yeah.
Mansley 2030.
Honestly, with the government shutdown right now, Bagsley. Bagley over there perfectly represents the U.S. government right now.
You ain't kidding.
That is
holy
exactly
shit.
What's going on.
Oh my God.
Where are the funds, Mansley?
I just want to open the government. You will give me what I want.
So, excuse me, we've got AI being developed at a breakneck speed. What kind of bullshit do we need to watch out for? Because is it going to be a race without ethical boundaries? Are companies going to just sideline safety for the sake of accelerated development and not losing that race?
If history has anything to prove, companies will do what it takes to make as much money as they can while they can.
Yes.
When you have companies that are not concerned about safety until the government steps in and goes, hey, too many people died because their hairspray bottle exploded in the bathroom just by looking at it. You know, they're going to do whatever it takes to make a buck on their investment.
Yeah.
Especially when the penalties generally for doing this stuff are so little compared to the payoff. Do you know the amount of times I've gotten mail from medical companies in my area that have given away all of our information? And they've said, oh, sorry, you get $5. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, they had a $10 million settlement, yet they made $100 million selling the information. They don't care. None of these companies give a shit.
No.
Yeah, cost of doing business.
I am thoroughly convinced that none of the people developing AI watched the Terminator series. Because that has been the best foundational, like, bedrock of what not to do in that situation. And they're doing every bit of it.
I'll even one-up you on that one. If you actually paid attention to Star Trek and watched it in depth, there are literally over 20 episodes that, like, discuss AI in pretty depth, in a lot of detail here. And we already know where this is going to go.
Uh-huh.
We already know, especially we're talking about the callback to the eugenics thing earlier as well, genetic experiments as well. There's several episodes of Star Trek as well that detail that. I think we all know where
it's called, the eugenics wars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think even in a more recent comparison, I like how Upload handles AI. That main character there is hilarious.
Yeah.
Even like a relatable way, but still, that's where it's going to go.
The redhead?
Yeah. I always forget his name. I don't know why.
Yeah.
He has a name, but.
Can never remember it.
No.
So I mentioned the chip war. How do you guys think that chip shortages will affect relationships between governments and the private sector? Is that like a whole industry that could be weaponized, defensitized, if that's even a word, from the governments and say, hey, this is now a national security asset?
Yes.
I wholeheartedly see that happening.
Not only that, but it's become the most important race in the last 100 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, ever since the nuclear arms race, I mean, this is literally the next to most important thing that's happened in the last 100 years. Because the minute one country can develop an AI that's good enough to crack into another country's information, infrastructure, anything else, you own them.
That's it.
All you have to do, once you own their power infrastructure and everything else of their communication systems, congratulations, that country is effectively now yours. You own it. Mm-hmm. So if you're smart, if the U.S. was smart, we'd be dumping, unfortunately, we're only dumping like half the amount that China's into AI right now, but we'd be dumping so much money into that and not into other crap.
Yeah.
Trying to at least be able to gain an advantage and say, hey, if anyone else is trying to do this stuff, our AI is already better than your AI. We'll just shut you down from the inside out. But unfortunately, that's not the case.
On that note, there is a base out west that's being converted to a storage facility for like materials and rare earth elements, graphite, copper, some other stuff. I shared a video in that or about that in our other server, the stock tips thing, because there were a lot of companies that were being called out that are involved in that. They called out the base. But it's a very large base, and the fact that we are now finally essentially creating a strategic reserve of these materials that are being used for chip development, I hope it's not too little too late, but it is about time that we do that.
Well, this is something that we discussed years ago, where it's like chip manufacturing is so important that literally you cannot make a tank without them. You can't make aircraft, radar, that there's a lot of basic things in the military that you can't do without chip manufacturing. And the fact that we don't make that here is not only one, insane, but also number two, think about commercial electronics. Almost anything, even newer Teslas, for God's sakes, you can't even make half the cars, even electric cars or any smart car, anything.
Yeah.
Can't do any of it. So it's like, why wouldn't you have that domestically? Why wouldn't you just tell these companies, hey, we'll give you like a full tax write-off if you just build the factory here. We want it. But no, most of our politicians are too old and too stupid to understand how important that is.
Yeah. They're the flip phones running the show in the smartphone world. It's ridiculous.
Well, you spent like what? The 2010s where everybody's like kumbaya, we got to have global market and all that. And you still had countries out there like China going, well, you're doing that. We're going to be taking care of ourselves. And then we just, for whatever reason, went all in with the global market thing.
Yeah.
You're putting all your eggs in one basket instead of diversifying. It's gonna bite you in the butt.
If anybody wants to see just how bad this is, look up the advancements in the Chinese automotive industry in the last 20 years. They went from 20 years ago to their cars look like our cars in the 60s. Back in like the early 2000s, where they were just all absolute pieces of crap. They were terrible. They looked like some of those Russian communist cars. To now they have cars. Some of the tech that they have makes Tesla look like a fucking flip phone. Some of the stuff is unreal. And I'm not saying it's quality in terms of for longevity. I'm not saying that. Because again, they're probably going to last 30,000 to 50,000 miles. But what I'm getting at is they have made such a turnaround and such a breakthrough in such a short amount of time that they are going to be a country that going forward, besides their economic issues and everything else, they could definitely cause some big issues and big disruptions. Even though I know they already are, but I'm saying if we don't bring the manufacturing back here and most of that's still in Taiwan, or a lot of it's in China, we're screwed.
So the fact that it's not just in another country, but it's in another country that is literally on the doorstep of a adversary, but also on the other side of the fucking planet, is a huge issue. Not just strategically, but logistically as well.
Imagine how much cheaper all this stuff could be if it was made domestically.
Or even regionally.
But again, if it's in a situation where they can make the most amount of money, regardless of what everything else is, that's what that company is going to do. It doesn't matter if it doesn't make sense. It doesn't matter if you're not creating jobs in the U.S. It doesn't matter any of that. If they can make the most amount of profit while they can right this second, they're going to do it. These fools don't care.
No.
I wish they did, but they
never have and never will.
But that's why you'd have to use tax incentives to get them back over here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So only way to do it.
So, all right, we'll go to the next one on our list. If we go down the line on everything, this is going to be like a 5-hour episode.
Yeah, we don't need to do that. No,
not for just our first one.
I need food for my tum tum.
Oh boy. So we'll dip our toes into the economics and cyber threats. Mm. One thing I wanted to touch on, Fannie Mae removed the credit rating requirements for buying a house. That's going into effect next week. Mm-hmm. So, it would be really weird if we had historical data to pull from to show whether or not that's a bad idea.
Didn't this weird thing happen in like 2006 to 2008 or 2009 where a bunch of people bought houses they really couldn't afford because the government forced them to be able to sell to people that couldn't afford the houses, and then all of a sudden we had this big crash, this big problem? Isn't that a thing that happened?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's going to happen again. So if you own a house or thinking about buying a house, get ready for that fucking roller coaster. That'll be fun.
Or hear me out. Put some money aside, save some, because if the crash is coming, why buy one house today when you could buy two houses in like 5 years?
Or 10 houses in 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, side note,
then you too could become a slumlord.
That's my plan. There you go. But
oh shit.
But the other thought is, do you guys see that Trump was talking about, he was trying to champion the 50-year mortgage?
A 50-year mortgage?
I heard this morning, and what they were talking about was laying out the groundwork for a 50-year mortgage. So people,
I know they do that in California.
Well, yeah, because a square foot of land is $1 million. But
that makes no damn sense, because you're going to be dead before that's paid off. Your children are going to be taking on that.
That's the idea.
I was going to say, that is literally the point.
Yeah.
We are now moving back to feudal society where the land is going to be generational.
Yeah. Like, I want this house I'm in to be generational, but I want it to be paid off before I pass it on.
Right. You want exactly.
To be generational by choice.
Yes. That's not the key. By force.
Yeah. That's what's going to happen. I'll tell you right now.
Jesus.
So, sticking with some of the AI themes and economics, malware developers, if I could speak, are using AI to write ransomware as a service. So they're using AI generated scripts to come up with hard to defeat tools to take people for all they're worth. They're taking houses from people, they're taking other property from people, and they're doing it before the anti-malware companies can write code to get around this shit.
Yeah.
And they're using deep fake videos, deep fake audio on the fly. This is something that everybody that's literally 65 and older has got to start being aware of and watching out for.
Yeah.
If you're smart, you lock your credit, you lock everything down, you get copies of everything, and you make sure that like nothing can be taken away from you. Even if you have to put your house in a trust or do whatever you got to do with your finances. Yeah.
Well, you even need to periodically go down to your local courthouse and make sure that if you own a home, that the deed is still in your name, that it's still registered, the property is registered to you, your home's registered to you. Mm-hmm. Because, all that can also, you don't even have to be aware of it. And all next thing you know, you're getting an eviction notice from your own home.
Yeah.
Then we got to change. I think in America, it's kind of like an America thing, but we do have to change how some of our laws work about property and houses and everything else, because boy, do I think it's really freaking archaic that you can somehow manage to deep fake your way through some of this stuff without having to show like proof of identification or
physical proof.
Some of this stuff needs to be like, you have to be there in person with a person, not like via robot surrogate or something crazy. Like, like, you know,
flesh and blood.
Yes.
Here's my thumbprint on the paperwork.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not to mention like, where's the deed? Where's the original deed that you got when you bought said property?
Yeah.
Oh, hang on, I don't have it anymore. Well, you're not doing that today. You're going to have to, you're going to have to do a lot more than just say, hey, I want to, I want to change this, the name on the deed.
Yeah.
I feel that, because I bet you there's a lot of older people that that have children or grandchildren that they're not really involved with their finances, that I think a lot of people are going to be losing their assets, their fortunes, their houses, their businesses, whatever, because they will unknowingly give this information. Like, I bet you the deep fakes of people calling about being the IRS and being like, is the IRS calling you owe back taxes? Just give us your card and information now. We can handle this. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
They we'll already have your take contact a gift information.
Card today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we'll take a gift card if necessary.
Yeah. Well, you what screws me up is at work, I get Google calls. So people will hire Google to call my area around different auto shops to see about the prices for certain things. So I'll literally have an AI assistant call me and be like, hey, you know, this is my name and I have this vehicle. I'm looking, what's the price for this service and when can it be done? And I hate to say it, I have to answer it because it could be work we could be doing, but it's fucking weird that even in my industry, I'm having AI. I get probably one or two a day because some people just use it all the time. So let alone someone getting scammed, I'm not surprised. That's why, like, honestly, with like my older family, I just tell them if you don't know the name, you do not answer it, whether it be a phone number, text, anything. If they're important, they'll leave a voicemail and you can get back to them. So, like,
also an important thing, do not say the word yes in the initial half of the call. No matter what they're saying, just do not say yes. Because they can record that, transpose it over a different conversation, and it'll end up them saying, do I have your permission to charge your card for $500? And when they play it back, it'll have you saying, yes.
Yes.
You know, I wonder.
Just don't do it.
For legal reasons, I have to say this. This is me pondering. I have no idea if this is possible. I wonder if there's somebody that has a business out of doing that, where they'll probably call you multiple times, get you to answer, and they ask you three different sentences, and they AI it all together. And they say, yeah, you approve this purchase of $1,000. What's the problem?
Yeah, we have the recording of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. How can you prove it?
New business model for fundraising.
Oh, my God. Non-consensual donation. Yeah, that's a good charity.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's not going to go tits up fast.
Right? NCD charity. So we've been talking about AI and the workplace. Do you guys think that there should be any kind of a mandate for AI skills and skills training development for kids in school, workers in the workforce right now, to at least brace for and keep their jobs? Or is this something that might just pass over? What do you guys think?
I honestly think that there should be some sort of training. That's like having kids go through school and not learn about computers. They should absolutely learn about whatever's in the workplace right now. If it's AI, make certain they're learning about it right now. Mm-hmm. If it turns into something else, that they should absolutely be trained on. You know, if AI is, you know, the current AI setup is not going to be functioning in 10, 15 years, so be it. But, you know, just like anybody that's in the computer market that deals with software, they're dealing with cybersecurity, any of that, you're going to want to get training on whatever's being used right now. So that way, going forward, you at least have that in your tool belt.
Yep. 100%.
It should be the obvious case of the kids need to be trained with how to use and abuse AI to their advantage. But also, I think there needs to be the equal point of they need to have marketable and trainable skills. Because the problem I see is AI can easily do 80 to 90% of all the academic work that you need to do in a lot of these higher institutions. So the problem I look at is a computer will be able to analyze the data faster than you can. A computer will be able to look at large pieces of numbers and data and information, graphs, and all that much quicker than you can. But what can't the AI do? The AI can't do hard labor, skilled labor, you know, things that require a lot of creative problem solving and different types of different things like that. But like for example, if you're like an electrician out in the field, you're not going to hire a robot to do your electrical work on your house, at least not anytime soon. Yeah. So there are certain things where I think kids need to be aware of, like, hey, this is how you do things. This is how you work out in the real world, but here's AI and here's how you can use it to your advantage. Because vice versa, if you're somebody that knows how to use both of those very well, I bet like 80% of almost all jobs are open to you at that point. Because again, just because you can't physically or mentally do it, if you can get something else to do it, and that way you just turn that work in, it's still work, whether AI is doing it or not. Like, I've seen several cases of people that talk about that they're data analysts, that they literally will code and create an AI to do all that for them. And they'll work like a couple of those jobs at the same time. It's like, well, you can't fault me on it. I could do all this work of two people. So I work two jobs. Yeah. I literally just have an AI that I programmed. And take it mad. they're doing the work.
Yeah, it's still getting done.
Especially, God forbid, if you can be smart enough to do an AI consulting firm.
Oh, God, yeah.
If you are smart enough to be able to do that and be able to have like 9 or 10 different AIs that all work and talk to each other and create your own consulting firm for businesses and other stuff like that, congratulations, you don't have a business that has the world's lowest overhead and the highest productivity. Like, congratulations. Here's all the money you've won. You win capitalism. Congratulations. Here's your badge, you know?
Yeah.
Should companies be responsible for training their existing workforce on AI, or is that the worker's own responsibility?
Company.
Yeah, it should be the company.
Okay. I think, just as the type of person I am, that you should take it upon yourself to learn the parts of it that at least interest you and that you gravitate towards naturally. Let the company dictate their needs for it with you and cover those costs, those training expenses. But anything in that field that you yourself are interested in, like the things that we've been doing for the show in the background.
Yeah.
I've had to learn all that, but I'm learning more and finding other uses. So I'm learning to apply that secondarily.
But here's the thing. We are a group of people that are technologically savvy. Do you trust the average 54 to like 60 year old that knows nothing about technology to be able to research how AI works? Are you kidding me?
No.
They are going to end up on sides of the internet that they don't know, understand. They don't know why they're there and why are their genitalia. Like, it's going to get out of hand so quick. They're like, oh, this newfangled AI credit. No, it's not going to go well. Like
what's this? What's this blue waffle.exe?
Oh, no. My God.
I'm sorry, you totally got me on that one. But I do understand.
Eczema fries, what are these?
Shush. We're moving on from that one. That's an aside. But I guess what I'm getting at is there are certain age groups, I think, that are good at researching online, or maybe certain types of people. I think there's a lot of people, though, they're not going to have any idea what to search up. How this operates.
Oh, yeah.
How it even thinks. I think it's such a foreign concept. Like, there are people that struggle with, like, dialing on a smartphone. And you think they're going to be able to research what an AI is and how that works? Or then the problem is they're going to mistake everything for AI. And it's like, no, that's not an AI. That's a door lock. Like, it's a number pad. You just put in the number and, you know, come on.
I want someone to make an on-screen phone dialer that works like the old rotary phones.
There's an app.
Google, Google made a keyboard that works like that.
Oh, Lord.
You can even get the plans to 3D print it and make it yourself.
Ugh.
Do you remember how aggravating it would be to type like that? You have to go A, C, B. Oh, my God.
Hey, but guess what? Your kids wouldn't know how to use it.
Right? T9 locks out kids. T9 and cursive locks out kids.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's how we send... My 9-year-old
hates learning cursive.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's how we send secure messages in the future. It's all T9 and cursive on our phones.
T9 cursive. Yep.
God. I got fast at T9 back when I did that.
Oh, dude, you ain't kidding.
Yeah.
I could sit there and drive and just be like, and I'd be like within like a digit or two like the whole way. And just you know.
Well, I had a sidekick that like...
I have those thumb skills, you know.
No. Psychic, you know, just flip it out.
I will happily thank T9 for what the reason why my girlfriend's happy. So
hell yes, buddy.
Thank you, T9. I appreciate it. Look it up for me. Look it up for me. You know? Helping the brother out.
Flexing that thumb muscle. Look at that. Look at that. Right.
T9 power, baby. Oh man.
God.
I am so sorry to people watch that without context. If you happen to fast forward to that point, you're in for a ride.
If that's the part you hit. Oh, my God. Oh, so tying in quantum computing with AI, advances in CRISPR technology. We mentioned that at the start. Boutique babies. Holy shit. That's just going to be getting way out of hand. The fact that they've used CRISPR to essentially cure type 1 diabetes. Fuck yes. That's an awesome advancement in use of it.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Now, the question is for the cure for type 1, is that going to be something that they're going to be rolling out, or are they just going to keep treating people for it?
I think the way I understood it, the method they applied was a permanent fix. There's no treatment. It's just they do this and it's done. The pancreas starts to produce insulin again.
Damn.
Yeah.
So is that just going to be for a few, or is that going to be for all?
They're going to have to pay for that. Yeah. That's not going to be a cheap treatment. You know that.
That's going to be a Justin Timberlake bill.
Basically, yeah. So when you pair AI-backed quantum computing power, the level of advancement that we're going to see in drug science, material science, other forms of computer science advancement, I think we're in for a really wild ride.
You tying it in with quantum? Oh, yeah.
So when...
Whatever you got going on right now when it comes to normal security, anything, the moment you step over into the quantum computing side of it,
it's done.
Yeah. That's.
So the your personal security is going to work like the banks work in South Park, and it's gone. Literally in that time span, they will figure out your password to everything, your login stuff, any of your encryption, any information, nothing will be safe. There will be no such thing as privacy on the internet. If it's connected to the internet, it will be public.
Once the quantum security is implemented, all security goes away, essentially. We have to go back to analog.
Yeah. And also, whatever you have connected to the internet, if you have something that's not connected to the internet, it can't be within a certain distance, because you could still potentially listen to things to get whatever's on that computer that has been shown to work.
Yep. They have programs that can listen to the tapping of keyboards and get information that way.
Yes.
Those are the offline key loggers. That's great. Isn't technology wonderful?
And people said the CIA back in the 70s and 80s were totally not messing with people. If all this is just public information now.
Imagine what's going to be public information in 50 years.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be sitting there in the nursing home saying, fucking A, I told you. Give me my Ovaltine.
Those clicks on the phone meant something.
I think it's bold of you to assume any of us will be in our nursing home. Either the world is going to be blown up by then, or it's just going to be cheaper to upload people.
I'm still hoping for the upload option. You know this.
I know. I don't know how I feel about that. I'm still...
I fully intend on harassing my descendants for a long, long time. And not just my descendants. Yeah. I want to harass other people's descendants.
It's going to be a computer monitor with, like, pincher arms, so you just come in, I'm going to get you.
But then I have to have the interactable face, so that when the hot 20-something Brazilian nurses come in, I can convince them to come over and just be like, let me show you my impression of Jesus. See, Gibbs, this is what you've been missing.
Yeah. It's Jesus Christ. Oh, God.
On the defense front, we've been implementing AI to help predict solar storms and space weather. So helping satellites not get shut down and knocked out of orbit. That's been a plus. So Starlink and the new Chinese version of Starlink, because, you know, they stole that from us, too.
Of course.
That's been operational.
They also stole getting hit by space debris and getting their astronauts stuck in space, you know, so they did that too.
They stole all the wrong shit. Mm-hmm. Their astronauts are stuck on their space station right now.
Ooh. Yeah.
It's a problem.
To be fair, though, they're stuck for a very different reason. The capsule on their space station got hit by a space rock or a piece of debris, and they're not sure if it's safe. So I will at least give them a pass on that one. It's not just Chinese quality control. It's a legit issue.
It's actually the Chinese being very un-Chinese and actually caring about their people. You know what? I'm going to give them a round of applause. I'm glad you're improving.
Yes.
I'm glad. You know, that's great. You're valuing the lives of people. It's very un-Chinese.
They cared about people for a second. Holy shit.
Yeah, they're not number 1,503,682.
Right.
We're really rubbing off on them.
I wonder if one of their astronauts' names is Sumting Wong.
Sumting Wong and Bang Ting Ao reporting for duty. You know?
Or you hear that. Oh, we're assholes. So you had something you wanted to talk about. And this is kind of putting our mushroom stamp back in the political realm. The digital ID going over in UK.
Yeah. So this has been a proposal that it's basically...
It went live.
Well, so the full rollout will be into August 2020. But what they're doing in England, which... If any of you have been here before on this show, you understand that we're not the biggest fans of like government outreach control stuff like that. That's not really our domain. That's not really a fan of that.
That's the American way.
Well, apparently that's
we don't want control.
That's now the English way, because the UK, they're basically proposing a digital ID that will require a government backed app and basically a separate login. They will have details like your name, date of birth, nationality, residency status, where you work, the amount of like your bank account records, your credit records, your all your medical records and everything. The idea is to have everything about you into one app, one location. That way you need that for proof when you either want to use the healthcare service or interactions with the police department when you want to get hired. The big note I had here that he had said, Keir Starmer said live on TV, was local authorities will be allowed to view the contents and messages on your phone without a warrant. These devices will allow access to the police at all times for all messages.
Mm-mm.
The UK digital ID is not mandatory. Now, this is the big thing. Digital UK ID is not mandatory. It's only mandatory if you want to have your right to work or receive any benefits.
So when you find out that none of your information is no longer in the system, does that mean they're coming for you to kill you?
Probably.
What it is, it's making a two-tiered system. Yeah. And
or a two-class system.
Yes. And it's going to be such a big issue. Because
wait, I saw this movie, Demolition Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody that lived underground didn't have the IDs.
Yeah.
And they still touch each other. No, none of the little high-five bullshit.
They also eat rat burgers.
And so, rat burgers, yes.
Juicy.
Give me the rat burgers.
But it was a little...
This is a good burger.
It was a little side note I wanted to point out when we're discussing all the AI stuff, because I guess my worry is if you join those two things, you're going to have a government that has access to literally all the information about you that can easily be hacked or gotten into, and that information can be disseminated. How are you going to be able to not only prove anyone's identification, but then also not be able to spoof someone else's ID? How can you not frame people for crimes? How can you not steal someone else's bank account or information? You know, just reference V for Vendetta, by the way. Just a little, side note.
Yeah.
Reference that movie for a few different things here. That's where the UK is going. And I guess my concern is that other countries, particularly America, would eventually go that route. I think obviously we would probably not, but it's something to keep an eye on.
For now, I think we still have too well of an armed citizenry to allow that to happen, and too many people that still care. Give it 50 years, and that may change. China is in that same boat, because they have a lot of mandatory digital IDs as well.
Well, they've been way worse.
Oh yeah, but they also have their social credit system.
Yeah. Now, tie the two together. Our last episode, before we went off the air, In a Mirror Darkly, we talked about that whole social credit program. Mm-hmm. And I think it's all going to tie in together. If they implement one, they will implement the rest.
Of course.
So it's really just a set of horrifying dominoes that we got to watch out for.
Well, it's something that I think might be inevitable, but let's use what happens in England as a case against it.
Yeah.
Because I there's so many riots already happening. There's so much violence already going on.
Yeah.
That country's already tearing itself apart at the seams.
Well, it's not just England. it's a lot of Europe that's kind of fighting back against a lot of stuff.
And well, they're also really pissed off about the immigration and
mm-hmm.
yeah,
it's weird.
Politics are
every country but Poland. Can't imagine why. It's weird. Just do a little research.
European Texas at it again.
I know.
I love that.
It's weird. These Texans.
What, you want to come here and you don't have documentation? Here, have a hose.
You say it's cruel, say it's inhumane, but you know what? It fucking works.
Those tech.
Yeah.
It's weird. Those European Texans love pierogies. I don't know what's going on. They make me so proud.
Oh, shit.
It's crazy when laws have consequences.
I know, right?
Imagine that. Not like New York will know what that is. They won't know any of that anymore.
No. New York better lock up their goats. Hide your goats. Hide your sheep.
I have nothing to do with that comment. I have nothing to do with that. That's all him. I have nothing to do with that.
That is not the opinion of the podcast. That is solely my opinion.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, New York's in for it.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait for us to report on the government-run grocery stores.
Yeah.
That's going to go the same. Yeah, that's not going to make any money for the government.
People will still steal from it. I bet
you. Yes. What?
No way.
You know what the excuse will be? It's not that they're stealing from the grocery store. Their taxes paid for it. So why do they need to pay for it again?
Well, they're
that's
free.
That's going to be the excuse.
I guess you can't steal if it's free because the grocery stores are supposed to be free.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
So here's my question.
Oh.
As someone that
how are you going to keep food in there?
No, yeah, but here's my question. If somebody doesn't live in New York City, am I allowed to just drive down there, fill it up with stuff, and then drive away?
No, because you'll have to have your digital ID to prove that you're a New York resident.
So
I think is going to be the implementation.
So all I have to do is make an AI program that makes me a New York ID, drive down there with a truckload.
Don't give them ideas. Don't give them ideas.
But I'm giving me ideas. Because how are they going to stop
me? If that's the case, then road trip, y'all.
Because what would be a great
point? Well, it's coming the same way now.
I think this would be the greatest point ever to a bunch of communists to be like, yeah, everything's free. That's right. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm taking all of it. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, I have a truck. You don't. What are you going to do?
Yeah. That's when you just load up the truck, and on the way out, you just roll down the window. Got milk?
Just walk right in my...
Literally, to make a point, I would load up my 8-foot bed truck with food, get it up to the Brooklyn Bridge, and throw it all out in the water. Just
fuck yeah, the new tea party.
Jesus.
Oh, God.
That could have fed so many people. I don't know. It was free. It wasn't going to feed anybody. I don't know.
It's going to feed the fish.
Yeah.
Eat the fish.
Fish are people, too.
Guess what? The fish are hungry.
Fish are friends, not food.
Fishy.
Oh, God.
Okay, Nori.
All right. So we got through all the points that we wanted to talk about tonight. And before we wrap up the show, we're going to use this as a beginning of show topic, I think, next time. We are, and this is kind of a bigger announcement, so definitely want to bring this up early next time. We are working on a live show. We have spoken with an establishment that is, yes, go ahead.
I think some clarification, not just a live show. An in-person show.
Yes, thank you. Yes, an in-person live show that will be hosted by an establishment.
Excuse me.
And once we have all the details finalized, we will get everything out to everyone. And we will have the opportunity for the meet and greet. We'll have seating available. There will be beverages available for purchase. Like I said, we're still working out all the fine details. As of right now, we are looking at Labor Day weekend, so it's still a ways off, but plenty of time to get everything set up and done right.
We're giving y'all a 10-month head start on this.
Sunday, September 6th is the prospective date. So mark your calendars. If anything changes, we'll let you all know. But as of right now, That is what's going on. All three of us will be there in person. These two are going to make the trip and come down.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It will be in Lancaster, Ohio. So we'll keep you all updated.
I'll be sure to take a bath.
Yes. We'll all shower together. So we'll...
we're going to need a bigger shower, buddy. Yeah, but they,
just don't drop the soap.
Thank God I have a Planet Fitness membership. I have somewhere else to shower without you being a creep.
Right? You know. And there's a Planet Fitness down the road.
Oh, good. Okay, cool. So my butthole is safe another day.
Yes. Well, your butthole is, but your ears aren't with Carly. Yeah,
you know what, though? She was much better.
Yes.
She was much better recently, so.
Yeah. So I was reminded that you are, in fact, a brave individual. In one of our previous episodes, I mentioned that you are a well-marbled person, a well-marbled human, and you still came back to the house. Talking about the whole, I would eat a person if I had to.
Oh!
Yeah, you remember that one.
I think it's because I know I have a pretty good chance in a fist fight with you. So I was like, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
You know, what would be the worst that'll happen? Although I, as I've learned, if I have too many edibles, I have no chance in a fist fight. So.
Oh, God, yes. Those were great.
That was.
Jesus.
That was.
Oh. I still have some and I'm. Ow.
You're worried about those.
Yeah. I knew I was in for a good time when the guy was just like, this is a very good quality that you're buying. It's like, oh boy, maybe I shouldn't eat the whole thing.
Proceeds to eat the whole thing.
Yeah.
The problem is I had two. My hubris was my downfall. I
didn't realize you ate two. Yeah. I thought you just ate one like the rest of us.
No, I had both of them. I was like, I'm used to this stuff. This is nothing new.
He was not ready for the Ohio experience.
I think I was drunk. Ow. I feel like those were not what they were advertised. Because Jesus Christ.
Drugged?
But well, technically.
It was drugs. Well, you know what I mean.
It was drugs.
It was just I consented to a certain amount, and the amount that I took was not the amount that I consented to. So it surprised me. It's like, hey, you know. Yeah, you got a free double dose.
Oh, yeah.
Lessons were learned.
I'm floating away.
You were orbiting the earth that night.
Dude, I was.
Yeah.
It was bad.
You were looking like Baggy up there.
Dude, I was at the airport too, which is fucking scary. The lady behind at Dunkin' Donuts had to call me three times while I was staring at her, waiting for my fucking donut. I was like, "Oh yeah, I'm fucked. This is bad.
Oh shit!
You never told us about that one.
I felt so bad. I don't remember the order number because I don't remember fucking shit. But I had just ordered, so she knew that was for me. So she's looking at me, going, "Order blank, jelly donut." And I was like. Order blank jelly donut, and I am still just like looking through her like she's not even there. And she's like, "Your donut." I'm like, okay. But like, it was Thank bad. You. It was bad.
Oh god.
Never again.
I put the chromie in the bag. I'm so sorry.
Dude, it was bad.
Oh shit.
It was bad. You ever get so high you get confused in a public bathroom?
That was probably me the next day.
Oh yeah, it was bad, but it was fun. We had a good time, but we will not be doing that at the live show though. At the in person show, that's
no. Yeah.
Speak for yourself. I might take a quarter.
A quarter, that's fine. That's
gonna be the show that everybody's gonna be like, why? What did we talk about? I don't know. I was giggling the whole time.
Oh yeah. So yeah, live shows in the works. We hope that if you're hearing this message that you'll show up. It should be a very good time. But yeah, we'll talk about that more in the upcoming episodes, which by the way, the lineup we have for this season is looking to be amazing. So
Next week.
Anything else, guys?
No.
No, I just want to say we have a lot of stuff in the works. Obviously, we're polishing a couple of things for the next few episodes and trying to get, you know, a couple of the quirks worked out. Because software loves to update and change things. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just did our checks yesterday and decided then software was like, oh, by the way, guys.
Yeah. It's funny. But no, I think we have a lot of stuff coming up, and I'm looking very much forward to it, especially we have a few different changes coming up. So good stuff. Good stuff.
Yep.
Heck yeah.
All right, folks. Well, we're going to go ahead and end it there. So thank you all for hanging out, and we'll see you all in the next one.
Bye.
Bye.